today reading God's word, and we're going to be talking about one of God's favorites in Psalm 106, verse 1. So if you'll stand, we'll honor God as we read his word. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord or fully declare his praise? Blessed are those who act justly, who always do what is right. Remember me, Lord, when you show favor to your people. Come to my aid when you save them, that I may enjoy the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may share in the joy of your nation and join your inheritance in giving praise. Father, as we join your word, as we look into it today, Father, help us to know that we are favored of you. Lord, we can accept the favor and rejoice in it and use it for your glory, or we can choose to reject your favor. Father, help us to be those that accept and rejoice in it. And Lord, we'll be sure to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. What would it be like to be one of God's favored people? To be one that God always looks on in love, that always wants to bless us? Boy, that'd be quite a deal, wouldn't it? Do you know that it's yours? It's yours for the taking every single day. In Psalm 106, verse 4, David said, "Remember me, Lord, when you show favor to your people. Come to my aid when you save them, that I may enjoy the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may share in the joy of your nation and join your inheritance in giving praise. Remember me, O Lord, with favor." When we look up the word favor, you look it up in the Analytical Concordance, you find several different Hebrew words that are interpreted as favor. But the interesting thing that we don't understand is that those same words in the Hebrew that are interpreted as favor are also interpreted as the word grace. Folks, this is an exciting thing because grace is God's unmerited favor. You can't earn it. You see, you don't get God's favor because you're a special person that always does what's right. God favors sinners. Do you know why God favors sinners? Because we all are. That's all there is. There are no perfect people. And you say, well, yeah, God blesses them because they always do the right things. No, nobody's like that. I remember when Jeremy Brancic first got saved, and he got to know me a little bit, and he said, you know, I thought all pastors and priests were perfect. And I had the pleasure of telling him, no, they're not even close. In the New Testament, when we come to that word, charis, it's the word we have grace. Grace means the favor of God. And it's not earned. Grace is a word people use but don't understand. Grace always means, always, always, God's unmerited favor. So a bank once, the Chicago Bank, wrote a letter to a Boston bank about a reference for a young man that had applied for a job at the Chicago Bank. And the Boston Bank wrote back, it was just flowing with praise for this young man. It says his father, they wrote, was a Cabot. His mother was a Lowell. Further back were a happy blend of Saltonstalls, Peabodys, and others of Boston's finest families. His recommendation was given without any hesitation. Several days later, a note came back from the Chicago Bank to the Boston Bank, and it said, "We are not contemplating using this young man for breeding purposes. We're going to give him a job. We don't care who his mom and dad were. We don't care who his ancestors were. He's going to work here." Folks, very often favor among men is because of who your family name is. If you're of this particular family name, boy, everybody bends over backwards for you. Among men, we favor people because she's beautiful and he's handsome. She and he are so intelligent, and so we give them extra praise and extra favor. Do you know that God says none of that is right? The reason we honor people shouldn't be because of their name or their finances or their looks or their wealth. In James chapter 2, verse 1, all those things are forbidden for Christians. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing the fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand there or sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in the scriptures, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. Our Bible tells us that God is no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter your name. It doesn't matter how beautiful or handsome you are, or how strong you are, or how intelligent. In Acts chapter 10, verse 34, then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but he accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. Our Bible tells us, in fact, if you are a believer in Christ, that you are almost surely not one of the most wealthy people, not one of the best known names in our nation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, it says a warning here. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you're in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Folks, most of us are not the smartest apple in the bushel. We're just not. We're just normal people, because God saves normal people and people that are even a little less than normal in wisdom or riches or all the rest. Anybody here got $1 million in the bank right now? Probably not. Not even close, most of us. And it doesn't matter. Our problem is that we think, because we are fairly intelligent and we've got a little bit of wealth, that we're doing just fine and we're just happy campers. What we're doing is using the wrong standard to measure by. The growth chart had slipped from the playroom wall, and little 5-year-old Jordan hung it up again, and he was trying to be as careful as he could to get everything level. He got it all leveled off, and he put his little sister Lillian against the scale, and whoa, she's 40 inches tall. Mom, Lillian's 40 inches tall. And the mother says, there's got to be a mistake, Jordan. She can't be. She's only 3.5. She can't be 40 inches tall. And so the mother came in, and sure enough, little Jordan had it squared off good, but he had it 7 inches too low. So she was appearing to be 7 inches taller than she was. Folks, we as Christians have to be careful with that. The scale is not monetary wealth. The scale is not beauty or handsomeness or intelligence. The scale is what? The scale is Jesus Christ. How do you compare with perfection? I don't do so well. I don't know about you, but I don't do well at all when compared to perfection. I fall far, far short. We're told in God's word, when we start to get that big head and we think we got it all together, and okay, now the rest of you people may not be walking with the Lord, but boy, I sure am. As soon as you get that thought, 2 Corinthians 10:12, you ought to have it memorized and it ought to pop into your little mind. We do not dare classify or compare ourselves with some who confirm themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. You see, you don't compare yourself to the drunk in the bar. You don't compare yourself to the pastor. You don't compare yourself to the deacons. You compare yourself with Jesus Christ. And we all fall short. And so we have to admit, when we take pride in ourselves, when we start to think that I'm handsome, I'm strong, I got money, I got it all made, that's when we're really in trouble. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, it says, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourself to the elders. All of you clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. So if you're walking in pride, you're not going to get the favor of God. In fact, you're going to get the wrath of God. If you walk in humility, because you believe what God has said, you're going to get the grace of God, the favor of God, and he's going to give you more and more as you stay humble. The problem is, when God gives us the grace, as he gave to the children of Israel, we start to take it for granted because of our goodness. No. Grace and favor is never given because of our goodness. It's given on one means only. Because God favors all of us. Even unsaved people are favored of God. We get grace after grace given, but the unsaved spurn the grace, take the glory for themselves, and then God becomes upset and they lose the favor. So what should we take pride in? The Lord tells us not all pride is bad. There is some pride that might be good. So we're going to take a look at some of the people that God saved over the years and see, should they take pride in their self? We're going to start with old Noah. In Genesis 6:8, it says, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a man of faith, but at the same time, we have to look a little deeper into Scripture to see, well, what kind of man was Noah after he received the favor of God? It tells us more about him in Genesis 9, verse 20. Noah, a man of the soil, proceeded to plant a vineyard. When he drank some of the wine, he became drunk and lay uncovered inside of his tent. So Noah, after receiving God's favor, was a drunk. Now, I don't know how often he got drunk, but that particular time, he got drunk, and it caused a lot of trouble in his family. And believe it or not, that's trouble still going on today because of what Noah did way back then. Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the three sons, is still going on. What about Father Abraham? We all honor Abraham as the father of faith. It tells us in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, that he did get favor of God. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, your father's household, to the land I'll show you. I'll make you into a great nation, and I'll bless you. I'll make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on the earth will be blessed through you. Abraham found favor in God's sight. Abraham was a man of faith. But let's look a little deeper into Abraham's life and see how he lived. In Genesis 12, verse 10. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. And he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they'll say, this is his wife. They'll kill me, but we'll let you live. Say you're my sister, so that I'll be treated well for your sake and my life will be spared because of you. What does that say about Abraham? Abraham, although he had received favor of God, was a man of little faith and he lied to live. Folks, he should have trusted God, but he didn't. None of us trust God perfectly. What about Isaac, Abraham's son, in Genesis 26, verse 6? We got it there, Dave? Don't have it. I'll just read it. So Isaac stayed in Gerar. When the men of that place asked him about his wife, he said, "She's my sister." I wonder where he got that idea from. Daddy. Because he was afraid to say, "She's my wife." He thought the men of this place might kill me on account of Rebecca because she's beautiful. Do you know that although Isaac was a liar, he still got the favor of God? Look at Genesis 26, verse 24. That night, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am the God of your father, Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I'm with you. I'll bless you and increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant, Abraham." He got grace. He got favor, even though he lacked a lot of faith and even though he lied. By the way, if anybody here is going to receive grace, one of the things you ought to know, the Bible says all men are what? All men are liars. Now, I know you don't lie on a continual basis. I understand that. But if you get in the right situation and enough pressure, guess what you're going to do? You're going to lie too. You're going to lack faith. You're going to cover your butt. You're going to try to find a way out. Instead of turning to the Lord, we all do it. How about Jacob, Isaac's son? He found favor with God, yet he was also a liar. In Genesis 27, 18, he went to his father and said, "My father." "Yes, my son," he answered. "Who is it?" Jacob said to his father, "I'm Esau, your firstborn. I've done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." Isaac asked his son, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" "The Lord your God gave me success," he replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near me so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you're really my son Esau or not." Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him, and he said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he proceeded to bless him. "Are you really my son Esau?" he asked. "I am," he replied. I want to tell you, Jacob even lied in the name of the Lord. He said, "The Lord gave me great success." You know the interesting thing? God still gave him favor. We'd say, boy, God's got to bring judgment. No. Although he was a liar, although he lied in the name of the Lord and used the Lord as a crutch in the lying, God still blessed him. In Genesis 28, verse 10, Jacob left Beersheba and went out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it up under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I'll give you and your descendants the land upon which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you'll spread out to the west and the east and the north and the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I'm with you, and I'll watch over you wherever you go, and I'll bring you back to this land. I'll not leave you until I've done what I've promised you." This to me is an amazing thing. A man who lied using the Lord as cover, God still gives him favor. Folks, God gives you favor every single day. Every single one of us. Moses, the man that gave the law, the man that the Bible says was the meekest man that ever lived. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 11, it tells us about Moses. One day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Looking this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. So Moses was a murderer, and yet he found favor in the eyes of God. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of the Midian, And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames from fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see the strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Then he said, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I've indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up before the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I'll be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you brought the people out of Egypt, you'll worship God on this mountain. Folks, the Lord blesses even though he was a murderer. It's so important for us to understand. We don't want to leave the women out, do we? So I want to talk to you a little bit about Rahab. This is Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. Rahab received grace, favor of God. It says, Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, Look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent his message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house because they've come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, Yes, the men came to me, but I do not know where they have come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men sent out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan, and as soon as the pursuers had gone, the gate was shut. So Rahab was a prostitute and a liar, but she received favor of the Lord. She was the only one out of that entire city that was saved. In fact, Rahab, a prostitute and a liar, became a great, 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 and you can add about five more of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 1:5, Solomon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, and Ruth was the Moabitess, Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. And as you continue reading down through Matthew 1, you go all the way to the birth of Jesus Christ. And so Rahab, a prostitute and a liar, became one of the ancestors of our Lord Jesus Christ. She received favor. When we come to the New Testament, we see exactly the same thing. People who are extremely sinful receiving the favor and the grace of God. The Apostle Peter in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. It says, As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come and follow me, Jesus said, and I'll send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Do you suppose that the Lord Jesus knew at the time that he called Peter exactly what Peter was going to do? He knew exactly. Peter becomes not only a liar, but one who denied that he even knew the Lord. In Matthew 26, verse 69, Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out to the gateway where another servant girl saw him and said to the people, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you're one of them. Your accent gives you away. Then he began to call curses, and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed. Folks, Peter was not the best man that ever lived, but he received favor from God. Mary Magdalene also found favor with God, although she was demon-possessed. In Luke chapter 8, verse 1, after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Jonah, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. And so these women who had received grace and favor from God turned around and used that grace and favor that God had given them to help support him in his ministry. You see, grace and favor are always given so that you can glorify God with what he's favored you with. We get to the Apostle Paul and we say, well, surely not Paul. Paul wasn't a sinner too, was he? Well, look at Acts chapter 7, verse 54. When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears, yelling at the top of their voices. They all rushed at him and dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep. That young man, Saul, that they laid the coats at his feet, later became the Apostle Paul. He received favor from God, even though he was a murderer. He forced people to blaspheme the name of Jesus Christ. And yet he found favor. Folks, favor is given not just for our benefit. Favor and grace are given to each one of us that we might use it to glorify our God. When we use it the right way, we don't receive it in vain. We use it for God's glory. Guess what he does? He gives us more favor. It isn't that we earn it. It's simply that we used well what he's given already. In Ephesians 1, verse 3, it says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. How many spiritual blessings are yours? Every spiritual blessing that Christ can give is yours. It's there to be had. For though he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight, in love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he's freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. You see, he lavishes it on all of us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we also are chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who are the first to put hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So our question for today is, who may get favor and grace from God? And the simple answer is every single human being. There's nobody that God does not show his favor to already, or you wouldn't be here, neither would I, and he continues to show us grace after grace. All mankind receives God's favor and grace. It's just that some accept it and use it for God's glory. Others reject the grace that's given and don't respond to it. In Matthew 5:43, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Now here's the favor. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So what is he asking you to do? He's asking you to show favor and grace to those who evilly and despitefully use you. Because God shows his favor and grace to those people who evilly and despitefully use him. In Sunday school this morning, we talked about the fact that when the plagues come, instead of giving glory to God, the people curse God. Folks, you can respond to God one of two ways. You can trust him and believe in him and receive his favor, or you can curse him and get more of the bad stuff. I don't know about you. I want the blessing. Our God has showed his favor on all mankind. In Romans 5:8, it says, God demonstrates his own love for us. That's for everybody. In this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, he didn't wait till we got it right, because we're never going to get it right in this life. He died while I was against him. He died for my sin when he knew I was going to be against him. That's what he wants us to do. In John 3:16, another example of this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they've not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but the people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so it may be seen plainly that what has been done in the sight of God. Grace and favor are given to everybody, but it can be refused. You get to choose. Do you receive the grace or do you not? I want to give you a few examples of this. I want to read Isaiah 26:10 first, then we're going to look at some example of people that had grace given to them so clear you can't miss it, but they did. Isaiah 26:10 says, but when grace is shown to the wicked, they do not learn righteousness. Even in a land of uprightness, they go on doing evil and do not regard the majesty of the Lord. And so I want to take you back in time and show you a few people that grace and favor were clearly shown to, but they spurned it, and they didn't receive it. In Genesis chapter 4, we talk about Cain. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is couching at your door. It desires to have you. But you must rule over it. What was the problem? Remember, Abel offered a lamb in sacrifice to God? Cain gave his vegetables. God said to Cain, "Cain, I can't accept your vegetables. Because without the shedding of blood, there's what? There's no remission of sin. It has to be an animal." Cain was told, "All you got to do is sacrifice an animal, you'll be accepted just like your brother." But he refused. He spurned God's grace, and as far as I know, he never did receive it. And today he's in hell, in torture, in torment, and he's been there at least 6,000 years. If you miss the grace of God, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you dearly. The nation of Israel spurned the grace of God. Time after time, God sent them prophet after prophet to warn them, but they would not listen. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, this is what the Lord says. "Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you'll find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it." Do you know from Jeremiah's time until now, the nation of Israel has been against the promises of God as a nation? They spurned Christ when he came, and they're having all kinds of trouble because of it. Folks, when you miss the grace of God, you're missing a lot. Even when Jesus Christ came to offer himself as a living sacrifice for the nation of Israel, Jesus said to them in Matthew 23, verse 37, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I've longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you'll not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" You know, it's exactly the same today. God is offering his favor and grace to every single person. But God's grace can be received in vain. In 2 Corinthians 6:1, "As God's co-worker, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain." How do you receive God's favor and grace in vain? You don't accept it. You don't take it. You spurn it. And you refuse to believe that the God is the one that's causing it. "The reason my crops were good this year is because I am the greatest farmer that ever lived. The reason I've got so much money is I'm the best investor that ever lived." No. The reason you have good crops is because God blessed your crops. The reason you have money in the bank is because God blessed you. You can spurn it if you want, but he goes on and he says, "In the time of my favor, I heard you. And the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of God's salvation." We don't want to miss the grace. If you remember, God took the children of Israel out of slavery, out of Egypt, took them to the promised land, told them, "If you'll just go in, I'll help you. You'll take the land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. You're going to live there. It's going to be wonderful." But the people refused God's grace. They believed 10 spies that came back and said, "The land has giants. The cities are walled. We can't do it." Now, they were right in saying, "We can't do it." But nothing is impossible with our God. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. "Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. They didn't believe they could, they didn't believe God would, and so they didn't go in. Instead of going into the promised land and enjoying all the riches that were there, they wandered in the desert 40 years, and every person 20 and older in that generation died before they finally went in." Today, God is giving us grace and favor. You've heard the gospel of Christ. Some here may not believe it yet. Somebody might be sitting here Yeah, I've heard it. I don't believe it. And you're going to miss the favor of God. The choice is yours. Here's heaven. It's all yours through faith in Jesus Christ, death and resurrection. And here's the lake of fire. You get to choose. Are you going to have faith in Christ or not? You can receive the favor of God in vain. You've heard the gospel. Let me ask, have you received Christ? If you haven't, you've had God's favor in vain. There has to be a time in your life when you personally confess to God, Lord, I am a sinner. I believe with all my heart Jesus Christ shed his blood to pay for my sin, and today I want to receive Christ as my Savior. If you miss doing that, you're missing the favor of God, and it's going to affect you forever. It's not earned, it's freely given. I did not earn my salvation. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a pastor or because I got baptized or because I'm a member of a church or because I give money. I'm going to heaven because I placed my faith in Jesus Christ. I received the favor of God because I believed God. Folks, we've got favor given to us every day, and so often we don't believe it. We don't take it. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to how many? All. No. You see, there's these chosen ones over here, and there's these lost ones over here, and these lost ones can't. God says his favor has been given to all. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what's good. These, then, are the things you should teach and encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. You see, God's grace was given to you and to me not only to get us to heaven, but to help us to live different now. God says one of the first things that his grace teaches you is to say no to ungodliness and worldly lust and to live a godly life now. If you're not living a godly life, guess what you're doing? You're spurning the favor and the grace of God. God doesn't have these special people that he called that live perfect, and these people over here, well, they're not very godly. God wants all of us to live a godly life. You're not going to live a perfect life, but you can live a godly life if you'll receive the favor that God's showing you. In Ephesians 2:8, it says, "It's for by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast." If you receive God's favor, the good news is he'll give you more favor. That's the wonderful thing. You didn't earn more favor, but because you responded properly to what he's already given you, now he's going to give you more. Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. The Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. That means as you trust in the Lord, as you live by faith, guess what? You're going to get blessing after blessing. I'm not going to say you're not going to have trouble, because you are. But you're also going to have blessing after blessing. And then the Lord turns even your trouble to blessing. In Psalm 5, verse 11, but let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. Do you know why people depart from the Lord and do things that are sinful? Because they don't believe the Lord blesses those who trust in him. Folks, if you really believe what God says, you're going to apply it to your life, and you're going to receive the blessings. But we cut our nose off, we spite ourselves, because we won't trust God. One last time, 2 Corinthians 6:1. As God's co-workers, We urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Father, continue your good work in our hearts. Help us not to be those that receive your favor in vain. Father, what a waste. I wonder often how much I've missed because I simply didn't trust your promises. Father, help us to live by faith and not by sight. Help us to be those that are excited to see what the next blessing will be as we walk hand in hand with you through this life. And Father, we'll be sure to give you the praise now. In Jesus' holy name, amen.